So we're on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis, all the way at the bottom, three lines up from the bottom. Amalei Rava Bar Rav Chanin Le'abaye. So the Gemara now is going to ask Akasha on Rava. If you remember what we discussed yesterday, Rava was of the opinion that you're allowed to create an Erev Tchumen on Yontif for Shabbos. If Yontif is on a Friday, this is not considered a violation of the Iser HaChana if he sets up his Eruv on Yontif for Shabbos. And that was a problem which Abai raised, an objection to Rabbi. After all, Rabbi's opinion is that Shabbos Mechin Liatzma, or Chol Mechin L'Shabbos, but Ein Yontif Mechin L'Shabbos, Ein Shabbos Mechin L'Yontif, Ein Yontif Mechin L'Shabbos, and therefore Abai objected, why is it, Rabbi, that you will allow making an Eruv on Friday, which is Yontif, for the sake of Shabbos? Isn't that a violation of the Isra Achana? And Rabbi, to defend himself, said the following, that in this case, on Friday, in the following two scenarios, following two options, he's setting up an Erev for Shabbos. Number one, he was Holech Baraglov. Or number two, he was replacing the pas that he had set up on Thursday afternoon, Erev Yontif, as an Erev for the first day, meaning for Yontif. So let's go slowly. If we talk about a case of Erev Baraglov, Rabba insists that in Erev Baraglov, there's no need for him to make a statement. He doesn't have to declare publicly or privately that Hinani Kone Mokom Shvisasi. It's enough that he walks out to that spot, and the Isra Achana is only violated if he needs to make a statement that I'm being Kone Shvisa. The Amir itself, we said, is considered like a Maisa, it's like an action, and it's a violation of Achana. If it's only a mental state, where he has made a decision in his mind that he wants to be Kone Shvisa, but he doesn't have to say anything out loud, then that's not considered Achana, and that's Mutar on Yontif. And we discussed the Rashba, who adds an embellishment to this, and he says that the reason why he doesn't have to make a statement is because he is basically reaffirming his Makom Shvisa of yesterday, meaning that on Erev Yontif he was Kone Shvisa Behalicha, that was on a Thursday afternoon, and he made a declaration Hinani Kone Shvisasi. That Makom Shvisa remains for the next 24 hours, so that before Beit HaShemashos Friday night, Friday evening, he is just reaffirming through Halicha Baraglov his old Makom Shvisa. That's why Rava says, I can waive the requirement of making an Amira, a public statement of Hinani Kone Shvisasi. And the same thing applies with the Pas. That if he set up his pas on Thursday afternoon as an Erev Tavshilin for Friday, meeting for Yontif, now he takes the pas back to his house and again goes out to the Tchum Shabbos and he puts his pas down exactly in the place where it was on Erev Yontif, then he's just reaffirming, so to speak, his original Makom Shvisa, his Kinyan Shvisa, and therefore he doesn't have to make a statement. In the absence of a statement, Rabbi says, that's not called Hachana. So what you do mentally, in order to prepare from Yontif to Shabbos, is not a violation of V'ichinu Es Asher Yaviu. V'ichinu Es Asher Yaviu only applies to a Maisa. In fact, the Gemara on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis makes reference to another statement of another Tana, And that's Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, which you'll see approximately, I would say, eight lines up before the end of the Amud. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that if a person falls asleep on his route home on Erev Shabbos, he's Kone Shvisa exactly in the spot where he fell asleep, even though he has no awareness of being Kone Shvisa. That's going even a step further than Rabbah. Rabbah said that he's actively and consciously activating an Erev Tchumim when he steps on that spot. That's what he's deliberately doing. Just so he doesn't have to have an Amira. And his mind is going to effectuate the Erev. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri took this a step further and allowed an Erev to be set up simply by the fact that he's fallen asleep in a certain place. Now, the Rabbanan reject Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, and they hold that sleeping is not a kinyan shvisa. We need some sort of conscious kinyan shvisa. But nevertheless, the Rabbanan would agree to Rabba's premise that in the case where he is consciously being Kona Shvisa by stepping on the ground for the sake of being Kona Shvisa, he doesn't need an Amira. In the case of a Yashen, he's falling asleep, he's fell asleep, he's not conscious at all. So the Rabbanan say there's no such thing as being Kona Shvisa when you have no Kavana. You're not in a mental state which allows you the capacity of intending to be Kona Shvisa. You're asleep. And therefore, there's no such thing as being Kona Shvisa, according to Rabbanan of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, without any consciousness. But that doesn't mean that in a case where you consciously were Kona Shvisa, that above and beyond the mental state, you need an additional declaration of Hinini Omer, Hinini Muchan Mizuman, like Bittul Chametz, I'm being Kona Shvisa. No, you don't need that. So that's the Gemara here of Afilu Tema Rabbanan. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom of the Amud here. Afilu Tema Rabbanan. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan al leid Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. And they hold that a sleeping person is not Kona Shvisa el biyoshen delo motzi omar. He has no conscious awareness of he is being Kona Shvisa, so that he's completely excluded from Amira. Amira is a way of, so to speak, revealing what I have in my conscious or subconscious mind. But in the case of Yoshen, he doesn't have even the capacity to have some sort of awareness of being Kona Shvisa al near. But if he's awake, the Bai Lememar, if he wants to make a statement, Motzi Omar, he could make that statement. He has the capacity to do so. He's conscious, he's awake. Is Afagav Delo Omar, even though he didn't make that statement, is Kimandi Omar Domi. He made a mental decision with his full Kavana, deliberately being Kona Shvisa. He doesn't have to make it Amir. He doesn't have to declare those holy words, Shvisasi B'makom Zeh. And therefore, again, getting back to Rava's principle, you would be allowed to establish your Erev on Erev Shabbos, which is Yontif, without violating the Iser Hachana of Yontif for Shabbos, because it's just a mental state, and you could be Kona Shvisa without an Amira of Shvisasi Bimkom. So today we're going to start with Amalei, Rabba Bar Chanin Le'abaye, Ihavi Shmiele Lemar Hodesanya. Now, whenever you hear the word Mar, you know he's talking about Rabba. Again, let's not confuse our Rabba, who's the Rebbe of Abaye, with this Rabba. This is Rabba Bar Chanin. And both Rabbi Bar Chanin and Abaye were Talmidim of Rabba. And when they refer to Mar, they're referring to Rava. And what they're saying is, if only Rava, our Rebbe, our master, would have heard about the falling Brisa, he never would have said what he said. And apparently, Rava was unaware of a Brisa. This Sanya, we learned in a Brisa, Lo Yahalech Adam Lisof Sadehu Leda Mahi Tzricha. Okay, so let's talk about the following. By way of introduction, anything I tell you is pashut, I mean, you know this, but it always pays to review it. Yeshayahu HaNavi has a chapter, if I'm not mistaken, it's Nun Ches. I'll double check that in just a second. Anyway, Yeshayahu HaNavi says that this day of Shabbos, and for that matter Yontif as well, requires that we separate ourselves from all sorts of involvements of Chol. And that's called Im Toshiv Mi Shabbos Raglecha Mimotzis Chafotzecha, etc. So that we have something called Tzorchei Shabbos, so we have Tzorchei Chol. Now, of course, on Shabbos, we are enjoined from 39 categories of Malacha, but beyond that, there are some, what we call His Askus Bechol, B'Tzorchei Chol, which technically do not fall into any of the 39 Malachas. And that's where Yeshayahu HaNavi came along, and he revealed to us that in addition to the 39 categories of Malacha, we have to abstain from any involvement b'tzarchei chol. Again, there are exceptions to every rule. If it's a tzarch mitzvah, that's a little different. But that's called mimtzo cheftzecha means cheftzei shamayim, that you're allowed to get involved in, but not cheftzei chol. So imagine, if you have a field and you want to know how much water you need to irrigate the field, it hasn't been a very rainy season, so you want to go out on Shabbos to your field and check out the situation of your field in order to evaluate how much irrigation you'll need. Obviously, you can't irrigate on Shabbos, but you're already interested in irrigating the field immediately after Shabbos. So you want to use your free time on Shabbos to check out your field. And the Braisa says, Lo yahalech adam b'Shabbos. Now imagine, he's not speaking. Let's say he's going out on his own. He doesn't have a chavrusa here to evaluate the situation of his field. So it's all a mental occupation. And kayotze bo, another similar violation, which is here on Daf Lamed Tes Amud Aleph, is lo yitayel adam al pesach medino kidei sheikonis lemertzach miyad b'motzei Shabbos. Meaning, a person should not set himself up on Shabbos or Yontif in a position in which, at the end of the city, right, before the city limits, and he's within the Medina, he's not within the city, he's not violating, let's say, Nisut Chumin, but he's positioning himself on Shabbos in a way that as soon as the bell rings, you know, as soon as they make Havdalah on Motzi Shabbos, he's going to go into the Beis HaMerchatz immediately. So he's going to save himself time. Why? Because again, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos any askus b'tzarchei chol. And that, as we said before, is derived from the pasuk mimtzo cheftzecha in Yeshayahu HaNavi. Now, the truth of the matter is, this last case of Kedesha Yikonis Lemerchatz is a little bit more complicated to, or challenging to understand than the first case of Mahi Tzricha in the case of Sada. Because Mahi Tzricha, we're talking about irrigating the field. You know, you're talking about plowing and planting and the whole. Those are Malachos, which are Asuras B'Shabbos. As a general rule, any Hisaskus on Shabbos, if we want to evaluate whether it's prohibited or not, meaning whether it's called, whether we should classify it as Tzarchei Chol or Tzarchei Shabbos, the determining factor is whether it's a preparation for a Malacha Asura or not. Let me explain. For example, let's say I would take a long walk on Shabbos to the end of my field because I have animals and I want to protect my animals. So that's not a Malach Asura. Shmira Sabemos is not a Malach Asura. There would be no prohibition because that's not a his askus litzorech malacha asura b'Shabbos. So again, I understand very well in the first case here in the Brice and the Reisha, when we're talking about irrigating the fields, those are malachas asuros b'Shabbos. So to position himself on Shabbos by going out to the end of his field, you know, to see, you know, what's going on in his field. Again, I don't know why it says the end of his field. Forget about the end of the field. Any part of the field. It doesn't matter where he's going. But he's checking out his field. I'll give you an example. A contemporary example. And this is, I don't know if you've ever had this experience. Let's say right before Shabbos, Chas v'Sholom, I mean, these are the nightmares of life with driving. You find that you have a puncture. You have a flat tire. So imagine if on Shabbos you want to check out the flat tire so that you can replace the tire immediately after Shabbos. You follow what I'm saying? If you can imagine. So replacing a tire would be a malach asura v'Shabbos. Probably a whole bunch of different malachas that you'd be involved in changing a tire. So to check it out on Shabbos, that would be a violation of mitzvah cheftzicha. That would be his askus be melacha hasura b'Shabbos. But on the other hand, shmiras habehemos, that's not a melacha hasura b'Shabbos. In fact, the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos even goes a step further and allows you to whistle at the animal if the animal crossed the tchum and you're afraid it's going to get lost. You can whistle at the animal to get it back into the tchum because that's also not a melacha d'oraisa. So all that you're allowed. And in the Sefer here, when the Brisa quotes the case of Knisa L'Merchatz, so I'm just wondering, why is that a Malach Asura v'Shabbos? And I'm going to offer one of two possibilities. It could be that neither of them are correct. One possibility would be that he has to heat up the water in the Merchatz, and that requires a Malacha of Havara, or Bishul. Another possibility is that there's a malacha derabbanon, so to speak, of washing your body in hot water. So although that's not a malacha d'oraisa, but on Shabbos, any hisaskus in something that, in the broader sense, including derabbanon, as opposed to shmiras behema, which is okay, would be a violation of, quote-unquote, a malacha, that's also called his askus b'tzarkei moleches chol, and that is a violation of imto cheftzach. Says Rabba Bar Chanin, had Rabba been aware of this by Sahavi Hadarbe, he would have dropped the ball and waived his position, and he would agree that halicha is considered a violation of hachana. That he's going out to the Tchum Shabbos in order to be Ma'ariv Baraglov on Yontif on Friday would be a violation. It would be considered an act that is done on Yontif Litzorach Shabbos. And how do I know this? Because the Brisa says that the halicha for the purpose of checking out your fields or so that you could jump into the bath right after Shabbos. That's called Alicha Litzar Chol. And Alicha Litzar Chol is Asura. He doesn't say a word, as we said before. He has no chevrusa. He's going out there alone. And it doesn't matter. The Halicha per se, whether it's Litzar Sadeu or Kadeshi Karnis Lemerchatz, is prohibited, and it is classified as Halicha Litzar Chol. That's why it's prohibited, without any Amira. So therefore, the Halicha on Yontif, for the purpose of setting up an Erev Beraglav for Shabbos, is also considered a Halicha Litzarech Shabbos. And therefore, he is using Yontif as a springboard for Halicha Litzarech Shabbos. Even in the absence of Dibur, of Amira, even with Shtika, but nevertheless, I don't need Shvi Sasi Vimkomi as a declaration. Nevertheless, it's also, it's Achana, because it's Halicha Litzarech Shabbos. And Halicha Litzarech Shabbos is, in the Gemara's mindset, parallel to the Halicha Litzarech Chol that was prohibited in this Braisa. Says the Gemara Velohi. The Gemara completely rejects the analogy of Rabba Bar Chanin between the Alicha Litzar Chol, which is prohibited in the case of Sadeu Amerchatz, and the Alicha on Erev Shabbos, which is Yontif, in order to set up an Erev. Shmile, Rabba was very aware of this Braisa, Velo Hadarbe. And yet he did not rescind his original position. Why? Hasa mucha milsa, hachalav mucha milsa hi. So Rabosa, I'm going to translate this Gemara literally, and then I'm going to try to see if we can make it a little bit more lundish, you know, to conceptualize it a little bit more. But simply, in terms of the straightaway understanding of the Gemara says that there's something called mucha milsa, and there's something called lav mucha milsa. Very often, as you know, the halacha operates with hekera. Hekera means, how does the spectator view your actions? Well, if a person is going out to check out his field on Shabbos, then obviously he wants to do something which he can't do on Shabbos, but he wants to do on Motzi Shabbos. You know, it's like that example I gave you, that the guy is on all fours, you know, checking out his tire, his tzmig, you know, to see how bad is the puncture. Or if a person goes out to a merchatz, I mean, what is he? Is this an architectural tour? You know, he wants to see the beauty of the architecture of the merchatz. It's obvious to everyone, that's called hekera, that he's doing it because he wants to go into the merchatz, which he can't do on Shabbos, but he wants to get a jump start and jump into the water immediately after Shabbos. That is a violation of Yeshaya's pasuk in Toshiv, Mishabos raglecha v'chibadito be'asos rochecha mimtzo cheftzecha v'dabru dova. You have to be machabi the Shabbos, and you have to avoid doing some sort of hisaskus be'cheftzecha, which means your secular weekday tzrachim, and included in that is any kind of hisaskus that will prepare for a malacha that you're going to implement immediately after Shabbos, when it's nikar, when it's clear to the spectator that what you're doing is for the kavana of Litzarch Malach that he wants to do immediately after Shabbos. That's Asur even without Shtika. Because then we're going to take that Halicha and we're going to elevate it to the status of Cheftzei Chol. And it's Asur under the din of Cheftzecha. And what's Lav Mucha Milsa? When it's not Nikar Adovar? That's the case where he's going out to the Tchum Shabbos, and he's doing it La'arev Beraglav. Tell me something. Why is he going out? I'm scratching my head now. Right? Why is he going out to the Tchum Shabbos? He's taking a Shpatzir? And the truth is, if he wants a Shpatzir, he could go even another 2,000 Amos beyond the Tchum Shabbos. Why is he going to the end of the Tchum Shabbos? Is he not going because he wants to set up an Eruv? Nay, Lav Mucha Milsahi. Why? Mimadavshah. Who is he? Is he a Talmud Chacham or is he Niyama Arts? No matter how you cut the cake, it's Lav Mucha Milsahi. It's not Nikar. Sakti Gemara, Itzumim Rabbananu Amrinan Shmaita Meshachache. The only word I could use to explain this Gemara is a Yiddish word, Arangetan. Or, as we say, he's fatifed in learning. I never saw this, but somebody told me he saw Rav Soloveitchik walk into a pole and say, excuse me. And if it wasn't Rav Soloveitchik, I'm sure it was somebody else. Maybe it was Rav Aaron Kotler, if you like it. I go for a walk, by the way, in the morning, and I listen to a tape. And sometimes it's my own voice, but I can plagiarize myself. But whatever it is, it's not kedai. And somebody already warned me about it. Today I almost got into an accident. So the Gemara says that we're gonna wonder why this man is walking all the way to the outskirts of the city. I'll tell you why. Because he's fatifed in learning. He is so preoccupied with learning, he doesn't know where he's going. In the Hebrew, he says, Hushakua bihurhurav bitalmudo v'nimshach b'halichoso ad l'sham v'lo hirgish b'kach. So it's not nikar that he's going out for the purpose of being ma'ariv baraglov v'yamaretzu amrinan chamora irkasle. He lost his donkey. He's going out there to look for his donkey. So Rabosai, I'm not exactly sure I can be very comfortable with this Gemara on a simple level, meaning translation of the words, although I have to admit to you that the Rishonim Pe'echad, they all take this Gemara very literally, and they say that in the case of a Tumer Rabbanon, we're going to say he's being Mahar Belimud, and in the case of Amoritz, he's looking for his lost donkey. And again, you're allowed to look for your lost donkey on Shabbos because that's not his askus b'malacha. You know, there's nothing osur here. And it's eino nika b'alichos shemiskavim le'arev avur Shabbos, and therefore it's not a violation of Yisra Achon of Yontif for Shabbos. And here's where Rabbi makes the distinction. If he would have to, he'd be required for the Erev to declare Shvi Sasi Bimkomi, that would make it Nikar. Everybody would see clearly that he's being Ma'arev. He made a verbal declaration out loud. And that's a violation of the Yisra Achana Biyontav L'Shabbos. But in a case where he doesn't need any Amira, which is Rabbi Shita, and on that Friday, he doesn't have to make any declaration. Isn't it clear to the onlooker that he's being mechin here, something for on Yontif for the sake of Shabbos? So we saw already that Alicha is considered Alicha Letzorech Chol, which is Asura B'Shabbos in the case of Soda and the case of Merchatz. No, in the cases of Soda and Merchatz, then why is he going out to his field? That's not where we go on Shabbos. I mean, there are plenty of other places to, you know, to walk on nice grass area. You just have to go out to his field and check his orchards. He must be preparing for a malach, which he's going to implement immediately after Shabbos. And why is he going out to check out the merchatz? The answer is because he wants to go into the merchatz after Shabbos. So that's called nikar. But here, in the case of Halicha Baraglo for the sake of an Erev, we have different interpretations of why he's walking out. I mean, perhaps we could say that what the Gemara means to say here, if we were to be allowed a little bit more literary license, so to speak, is that Hachana or Tzorchei Chol has to be defined by what we call a hechsher. What I mean to say is the following, that let's take an example from a Gemara and Sukkah. The Gemara has a concept called hechsher, right? You build a sukkah. So the Gemara vacillates back and forth whether the building of the sukkah is part of the mitzvah. So the Gemara initially thinks, well, how can you sit in a sukkah unless you build a sukkah? So the building of the sukkah is part of his askus b'mitzvah. And the Gemara applies the principle of osik b'mitzvah, potter mitzvah when he's building his sukkah. And the Gemara says if he accidentally murders somebody while he's building his sukkah because the axe falls from his hands and kills somebody, then he's potter from golus because he's osik b'mitzvah. The Gemara says, nein. The Gemara says that building a sukkah is only a hechsher. It's not part of the sukkah itself and the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah. In fact, matzah b'nuya yoshev ba. If he finds a sukkah that's already built, or you invite me to your sukkah, then I could be yotze. I don't have to build a sukkah. Here also, we have to ask ourselves whether or not halicha is considered part of the ultimate goal and the purpose of his halicha. And there's going to be a twofold nafkamina. One nafkamina is whether the halicha is classified, it qualifies as a litzarche chol, which means that it's a violation of mitzvah chefetz. Number two, whether or not that halicha is an act of hachana in the case of halicha b'yanta for the purpose of Shabbos. So the Gemara says the following, that halicha, as a general rule, is considered hechsher, meaning it's not part of the ultimate goal. It's a necessary, under certain circumstances, a necessary prerequisite, but it's only a preliminary stage. It's sort of like a Gemara in Shabbos that says, according to the Chachamim, Machshirei Mila Einam Dochem Es HaShabbos. So if he doesn't have an Izmal to cut the Mila Bizman on Shabbos, then he's in trouble. He cannot create an Izmal because the Torah says that the Mila is Dochem Shabbos, but not Machshirei Mila. The Machshirei Mila is not part of the Mila. I know you need the Izmal, so you want to flatten out a piece of iron to use it as a knife for the Mila, but that's preliminary. That's already a step removed, pardon the pun, than the actual Mila. And here also, halicha, as a general rule, is a step removed. But then the Gemara wants to know, are there situations in which the halicha itself is not defined as a preliminary, but it's actually part of the ultimate goal of that and purpose of that halicha? I'll give you an example. The Gemara says that if you are on the way to do a mitzvah, then you're not potter from other mitzvahs. Halicha is not considered his askus b'mitzvah, osek b'mitzvah, potter b'mitzvah. And the Gemara has two exceptions. One exception is kriyat shema, because the Torah says ubolechtecha baderech. And the other exception is to be makabel p'nei rabo b'rega. So let's say my Rebbe is on his way into town on Yontif, and I go out there to be makabel panov, that halicha is this askus b'mitzvah. And if it was sukkahs, for example, and I'm on my way out of the town in order to be makabel p'nei rabo regal, I don't have to build myself a sukkah. Why? Because that's called this askus b'mitzvah. I'm being osek in the mitzvah being makabel p'nei rabo b'regel. The halicha that itself is defined as the mitzvah. And if I remember correctly, there's an entire presentation about this in the Netziv Mivalojin, in the famous sugya of Osek B'mitzvah in Sukkah Chofheh. Ayin Shom, I mean, if you have access to the Netziv on Masechtas Sukkah, the Romei Sod. Now, in our cases, the Gemara says that whether or not the halicha is considered his askus be'oso davar, or it's just a preliminary stage, the barometer or the determining factor is going to be heker. It's going to be what does the onlooker say. In order to get to the Beis HaMerchatz, in order to get out to my sada, in order to prepare for the malacha of merchatz or the malacha of sada, halicha becomes absolutely critical. And not only that, the halicha itself is exclusive. What do I mean by exclusive? It's a different halicha. It's not the same halicha. You know, it's not just that if I could have taken a helicopter and they would drop me off the helicopter at my sada, that would be fine. No. It's absolutely crystal clear to everyone that you're going out to your sada because you are a farmer and you have to make sure that you can immediately after Shabbos, you know, do what you have to do to set up the farm, improve the farm. That halicha becomes tzarech echol. In and of itself, it's a mice of tzarech echol. Masha Enke, the Gemara says, in the case of going out to an Eruv, going out to an Eruv is just a preliminary stage to get yourself to a place, but the Eruv itself is being Kona Shvisa. You have many, many, or shall we say, an infinite number of options where you can be Kona Shvisa. The Alicha, well, just drop me off, you know, a helicopter, you know, lower me down, and I'll be Kona Shvisa. The getting to that place, it is just it's a preliminary. There's nothing exclusive about it. I mean, as a matter of fact, I can give you any number of far-out reasons as to why he's going out there to that place. So who says he's going out there to be Kona Shvisa? So the Alicha, in such a case, is not considered a part of the setting up the Eruv. So the Hachana is the setting up the Eruv, but here we have Rabba's principle that if you can set up the Eruv mentally and you don't need a declaration, that doesn't qualify Katsu de Hachana. And the Alicha itself, although that Halicha could have been qualified as Hachana, just like we saw the Alicha in the case of Sada on Shabbos, is a Tzorechol, which is prohibited. But nevertheless, this Halicha is just a technicality. You have to get out to your Makom Shvisa, and, you know, if you could find another way of being there, you know, if you could have gone to sleep according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri in that Makom Shvisa, that would have been fine. Okay. Gufa. Now the Gemara goes back to Rabbi Yehuda's statement, and we're talking about a person who, when there's 48 hours of continuous Kiddusha Sayom, and Yom Tov is on a Friday, or alternatively on a Sunday, and he wants to be Ma'ari for 2 days, is Rabbi Yehuda, as we saw earlier, says Omar Rabbi Yehuda, Erev Biraglav Yom Rishon, Ma'ari Biraglav Bisheni. Meaning, that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned about what we call Shtei Kiddushos. And if it's Shtei Kiddushos, then the Eruv on the first day, which is for Yontif, is not valid for the second day. So he needs a separate Eruv for the second day. And on the second day, which is Yontif itself, on Erev Shabbos, he's going to walk out to be Ma'ariv Baraglo. And so too, Eruv B'pas B'yom Rishon, Ma'ariv B'pas B'yom Sheni. He's going to have to take his pas back on Friday and set up his Erev for Shabbos, because the Erev of Yom Tov Rishon, of Yom Tov, is not valid for Shabbos because Shtei Kiddushos Hein. And we say that this is no violation of the Iser of Hachana, and Rabba interprets that because he doesn't require an Amira in this case, as we explained on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis. Irev Baragla Barishon, says the Gemara, however, if on Thursday for Yontif he was Ma'ari Baraglov, Ein Ma'arv B'pas B'sheni, She'ein Ma'arvim B'tchila B'pas. In other words, we're going to say the following, that if on the first day he wants to set up an Eruv in such a way that now he can extend that Eruv for the second day, is then Ein Ma'arvin B'pas. Why? Because if he's Ma'arv B'pas, I'm sorry. So again, the word tchila here is I'm having a problem with, which, let me just just 1 second. Ma'ariv baragla barishon, ema'ariv bepas b'sheni. Oh, okay, that's a little bit confusing because the word b'tchila here means, you know, this new eruv, which is really b'yom sheni. You can get confused. And what's going to happen here is the following. That in this case, if instead of the, let me say it this way, there has to be, as the Gemara is pointing out now, a great striking similarity, almost a uniform repetition in the second Eruv of Yom Sheni as the first Eruv. And why is that? Because the Erev on the second day is Hachana for Shabbos, which is prohibited. The exception to the rule is when he doesn't have to make a statement of Hinini Kona Shvisasi B'makom Zeh. If the second Eruv, that which he's putting down for Shabbos on Yontif, is a mental Eruv, then it's not a problem of Hachana. Now, under what circumstances, asks the Gemara, is a mental Eruv sufficient and valid? In the absence of a declaration, Hinini Konesh Visa, which would be prohibited on Yontif and Shabbos under Hachana. The answer is we could drop the requirement of Amira if there's a certain identity, or maybe we'll call it identification, between the second Erev and the first one. And therefore the Gemara says, Erev B'paspiyom Rishon, Ma'arev B'paspiyom Sheni. Amashmul B'yosa Pas. If the second day's Erev, which is the Yontif Erev, is really just a replacement, if I could use that term, of the first Erev of Thursday afternoon of Yontif, of the first day of these 2 days of Kedusha, then that's fine. Then there's no need for any sort of Amira. Because with this pass, he was Kodesh Visa on Thursday for Friday, meaning for Yontif. And now with that same pass, he's extending his Shvisa for another day, namely for Shabbos. And this, my friends, is really the source for the Rashba that we mentioned earlier today and that we discussed at great length yesterday, that the reason why we dropped the requirement of Amira Bepeh, that declaration of Am being Konish Visa, is because he was already Konish Visa. And he's just, in a sense, reaffirming his Kinyan Shvisa. And that makes sense if he's using a pass, and Shmuel qualifies it the same pass that he used on the first day. So he writes here, Eima arvin b'pas b'yom rishon avur yom sheni b'ofen shelo ya'arv ba liyom rishon mishum sheba'ofen zeh shema arv b'pas liyom sheni hu tzarech lo b'peh shekone ba shvisa. So if, let's say, for example, on the first day he was ma'arv b'raglov, now on the second day, meaning Friday for Shabbos, he wants to be Ma'arev B'Pas. No. He cannot do so. Why? Because if he was Ma'arev B'Raglov on Rishon, now he's being Ma'arev B'Pas on Sheni. The Gemara is saying, in that case, you are not continuing your original Eruv because there was no Pas for that Thursday afternoon Erev for Yontif Rishon. And now you are trying to be Ma'arev Baraglov, so there's no continuity between the Ma'arev Baraglov of the first day and the Erev B'Pas of the second day. If you're being Ma'arev B'Pas on the second day, you're going to be required to make a declaration. Om Rav Ashi Deka Nami Masnisin. I can actually prove this statement of Shmuel from our Mishnah. If you're careful about the language of Mishnah, the Ketani, the Mishnah says, Ketzad hu oseh, if he wants to be Ma'ariv on Yontif, when Yontif and Shabbos are two contiguous consecutive days, Molicho Barishon, he's going to take the pas that he used on the first day and bring it back home. He was already Konish Visa with that pas for the first day, and with Chashecha, Umachshich olav and notlo bala beso, and b'sheni on the sheni chozilim kobo, he goes back to his original place, and he's shoves with this same pass, and machshich olav the ochlo ba. Now on Friday night, he doesn't know what's going to happen to his pass. You know, doesn't want it to get lost, so he'll have to eat it because he cannot carry it back to his house on Shabbos. But anyway, it's crystal clear that this Mishnah reflects the Shita of Shmuel, that he's being Ma'arev on Sheni with the same pas that he used on the first day on Rishon. If he chooses to use a different pas on Sheni, then he has to declare Hareni Kone Shvisasi, and that declaration would be a violation of Hachana from Yontif to Chol. Now, the Gemara wants to suggest a possibility of deflecting this interpretation of Ravashi, this diuk of Ravashi in the Mishnah for the sake of Abaye and Rabbi Bar Hanin, because if you remember, Abaye and Rabbi Bar Hanin, who raised all sorts of objections to Rabbah, they are of the opinion that if you make an Erev on Yontif, then there's no problem in setting up a second Erev on towards the end of Yontif. If you make an Erev on Erev Yontif, you can set up a second Erev on Yontif, even with a declaration, for the sake of Shabbos, because they hold that that's not a violation of the Isra Achana, even though you're making a statement that you're being Kona Shvisa, but it's not a real Kenyan that you're doing on behalf of Shabbos, so there's no violation of Achana. Why does the Mishnah seem to imply that it's the Erev of Erev Shabbos has to be with the very same pas that he put down on Erev Yontiv? And the Gemara answers, Dilma Hasam Eitza Tova Kamashmalon. The Mishnah is just giving you an Eitza Tova to tell you that, you know, you did a mitzvah with this pas by setting it up for your Erev on Erev Yontiv. You might as well do another mitzvah with the same pas and save yourself a couple of bucks at the same time. And also, by doing so, by taking the pas back home on Thursday evening after Chashecha, which you're allowed to do on Yontiv, you will guarantee yourself that the pas won't get lost. And you might, you know, if you don't force yourself to wait until Chashecha, Shema Ti'abed V'Afsidena, then he might actually lose the Eruv if the Eruv is not there until the end of Bein HaShmoshos. And furthermore, even if the Eruv will be there until after Bein HaShmoshos, why should he have to go through the entire tircha of finding another pass for the sake of the Eruv of Yom Sheni, meaning the Eruv of Yom Tov Shabbos? Why not just use the same pass and Enoch Inami, if it gets lost, you'll replace it with a second pass, but Eitz HaTovah Kamashmalan, you might as well save yourself the hassle of looking for a different pass. And this leads us to the Mishnah here in the middle of Daf Lamentes Amid Aleph. So what I'm going to do for the next 5 minutes is give you an introduction to this Mishnah, and I'm sure everything I'm going to tell you, you know very well, but we always, for the sake of the record, we have to go through the simple Chazor. Back in the day, in order to be Makadish L'Chodesh, they needed what's called Kiddush Al Pi Re'iyah. They needed two witnesses to come and testify that they saw the new moon. And they would come into the Bezna HaGadol. And Bezna HaGadol, depending upon on which day of the month these Eidim came in, would determine whether the previous month was a Chaser or a Mullet. So, for example, if on the 30th day of the month the Eidim came to Bezdin would Mekadesh the Chodesh on that 30th day, and they would testify that on the Motzei 29th, meaning the Leil Shloshim, they saw the Levana, and Bezdin would be Mekadesh the Chodesh, and that day would become Rosh Chodesh, and the previous month was a 29-day month. If, however, the Eidim did not come on the 30th day, then the month becomes what's called a Chodesh Me'ubar. It becomes a Mole, and the 30th day now becomes part of the previous month, becomes the last day of the previous month, and the Kviyas Rosh Chodesh will now be on the 31st day, because the Eidim didn't come on the 30th day. Now, all this plays a very unique role with regard to one holiday in the Jewish calendar, and that is Rosh Hashanah. Now, there were places that obviously were very far, their locations were very far away from Bezdin. They had no clue in those places whether the Eidim came to testify on the Levana on the 30th day of Elul, and therefore the 30th day of Elul was sanctified by Bezdin as Rosh Chodesh, meaning as Rosh Hashanah. Or perhaps, again, they have no way of knowing, the Eidim did not come on the 30th day, and Rosh Hashanah was established tomorrow, the next day, meaning on the 31st day. That was the first day of Chodesh Tishrei. That was Rosh Hashanah. And as a result of this suffix in these far-off places, again, they didn't have to be too far. In fact, I don't know if you know that back when the Eitz Chaim Yeshiva was in existence in Yerushalayim, they made a calculation that the Eitz Chaim Yeshiva was the final borderline where the people would know about the Beis Din and its decision, and anything, I don't know if you'd say, okay, I have to figure this out, to the south of the yeshiva, would have to be noeg 2 days of Yontif. So 2 days of Rosh Hashanah was an institution called Sveika de Yoma in its original form. Those places that were samach to the Beis Din, they knew that the first day, meaning the 30th day of the month of El, was Kadosh B'Kedushas Rosh Hashanah. The Beis Din had already received Eidim. However, even places that were samach to the Beis Din, they also had a certain level of a challenge. And that is the following. What time of the day did the Eidim actually show up? Now, if the Eidim came early in the morning of the 30th, then Beis Din was Mekadesh that day as Rosh Hashanah, based on the Eidus of these two witnesses. Now, that would mean that the next day was Chol, right? It was the second of Tishrei, and it's not Rosh Hashanah. And again, that's going to change if the Eidim don't show up on the first day. So that even the places that are smuchim will not necessarily be noy kedushas Rosh Hashanah, kedushas Yontif on the 30th day. If the Eidim didn't come on the 30th day, then they would postpone the Niyum Kedusha of Rosh Hashanah until the 31st day. So the 30th day would be the last day of El. But again, even if you're samuch to the Beis Din, you know, the hours and hours are passing, what are you going to do during the course of that day? On the tzad that maybe the Eidim will come before Shkia, you know, it's always possible that Limafreya, retroactively, this day, the 30th day of El, was actually the first day of Tishrei, if the Eidim will come and Beis Din will be Mekadesh L'Kodesh before nightfall. So even with regard to those places that were Samuch, you might have a situation where there'll be no Kedushas Hayom of Rosh Hashanah for two consecutive days, because they don't know whether the Eidim are going to come or not. Nobody is a Navi to predict that. So as an introduction to our Mishnah is going to deal with the status of 2 days of Yontif. And that's relevant first and foremost to places which are far away from the Beis Din, because they certainly have no clue whether Beis Din received Eidus on the 30th day and established the 30th day as Rosh Hashanah, or did not receive any Eidus, and therefore the Chodesh becomes a Mole and Rosh Hashanah is on day 31, which means the next day. And even with regard to those who are smuchim to the Beis Din, we said there's also a certain confusion. And now our Mishnah wants to know, how do we define these 2 days of Rosh Hashanah? One approach is going to be Shtei Kedushos, and the other approach is going to be Kedusha Achas. Kedusha Achas means that we see it as one continuous day that's made up of 48 hours. And then Afkamina is the following. If there are two Kiddushos, then he could set up his Erev Tchumen for each one of these 2 days. And not only that, he could set up his Erev Tchumen for the first day in the east. He could set up his Erev Tchumen for the second day in the west. That's called Shtei Kiddushos. Now, let me add another possibility, and then we'll end the shiur. That is, that if you hold Shtei Kiddushos, he could decide that on one of those 2 days, he wants an Eruv, and on the other day, he doesn't want an Eruv at all. He wants to be like the B'nai Iro. And that also is valid. Because the one day of Eruv is not binding for the other day, if there are two Kiddushos, nor is the absence of an Eruv, which means that he set for his Makom Shvisa Kibnei Iro relevant to the other day. He can decide for the second day he wants an Eruv. That's called Shtei Kedusha. If on the other hand, Kedusha Achas, then he can't separate the Eruv from the first day to the second day because it's one continuous Eruv. Now our Mishnah is going to present that Nafkamina between Shtei Kedushos and Kedusha Achas as far as Eruv is concerned. And the Mishnah is going to take that as a jumping point to define other Nafkaminas, which have to do with Beitzah Shenolda Bezeh, Asur Bezeh, and also laws of Tevel and Afrosha. All these are going to come under a list enumerated at Mishnah of Nafkaminas between Kedusha Achas and Shtei Kedushos. Okay then? So Bli Neder, tomorrow we'll begin with the Mishnah here on Daf Lamentes Amidah.